Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
God damn it. Why ain't my mouse working?
Oh, no.
There we go. I got it. We're good.
We got it. Good. Come on, mouse.
Yeah. Hello, and welcome back to We're Not So Different, a podcast where I can't operate a computer properly. My name is Luke. I'm an amateur historian on my best days. And as always, I am joined by Dr. Eleanor Yanega, who is anything but. Today, we're going to be talking about a little bit about the easy lives that peasants had comparatively to our sparse, meager existences today. But first, we, as always, have a question from one of our patrons, and this comes from Heather, who says, I've seen a few memes around that compare the U.S. when it was first founded to the structure of the Holy Roman Empire. Is that a legit comparison or just nonsense? Eleanor. Outside of the incest.
I know, like, I mean, they have, like, there was a lot of incest and slavery, so. Mm-hmm. So this is an interesting one, because I can kind of see it from, I can sort of see it from one perspective. Because, especially, like, the Holy Roman Empire, like, in its later phases, like, in the Habsburg phase, you know, it's, like, a hereditary monarchy, you know, slash imperium, right? A hereditary imperium. Yeah. Which is what, when the U.S. is first founded, is going on. Like, I mean, I'm talking about, like, colonial U.S.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Like, within that context, you've got a king, and you've got, like, lots of little kind of varying I mean, well, they're not principalities, right? It's like counties and stuff. And this is what I always say, and I'm sure that I've said it before on here. You know, when people bring up that map of the Holy Roman Empire and they go, oh, how did this work? Look at all the little things. And it's like, well, yeah, we have counties now too, right?
It's like, okay, let's hold up. That map is awesome because it just looks, because especially the one where it's like all different brightly colored. It just looks like fruity pebbles.
Yeah.
You know, so that map is awesome. But yeah, we got a bunch of counties here. That's basically how it works.
Yeah, like that map absolutely whips. And people are just like reading it in this really weird way where they're like, oh, this should be a contiguous whole in this particularized way. And it's like, well, it's in an empire, so it's got an overarching government in the first place.
Yeah.
Like in the same way that, like, you know, we would in, you know, the Empire of America. So shut up. But yeah, there definitely is that. And there's also, so, and what I mean by this as well is that, you know, you don't elect the fucking king, right? In America, it's just hereditary, so that happens, you know, like earlier Holy Roman Empire, obviously they elect emperors, but like, you do have also, like, theoretically, you got but there's like Parliament in England. See, where this like breaks down is that there's Parliament in England that America is shut out from. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that you could say that a lot of people are like shut out of like the Landsrecht and stuff like that, which is supposed mm-hmm. to be like the, or like the Imperial Diets and things like that. But mm-hmm. there are ones that do include, you know, burghers and like other wealthy individuals mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So, you know, that kind of varies. You know, there's, I'm sure some places that don't really have representation there, so that would make sense. Mm-hmm. There's a good deal more chattel slavery going on in America. Although, you know, I'm sure that there are Holy Roman Imperial people with slaves at varying points. I'm reading mm-hmm. a really good academic book at the moment that I have to review. I'm like, you guys should read this book, except it's quite dry and academic, and you'd have to get it from the library because it costs roughly £100, called, here it is, Human Trafficking in Medieval Europe, Slavery, mm. Sexual Exploitation, and Prostitution, and it whips. It's very good.
Nice.
And what it's kind of like led me to believe, and I'm sure we'll talk about this later too, is that like actually there's a lot more slavery going on in medieval Europe than we would have otherwise thought. Mm-hmm. You know, we tend to focus on serfs, but there's still like enslavement going on. So mm-hmm. knowing what I know from that now, I'm like, eh, there's still some slavery about. It's just like, it's not on the scale, yeah. you know, and it's not on, you know, like transportation isn't happening in such a huge way. So yeah, there's definitely parallels. I mean, like I could see the comparison. I kind of like don't really know enough about colonial America or earlier America to really stretch this much further than that.
You're not missing much. You're good. I mean, I like based on what I know, what I've learned from you in this series about the Holy Roman Empire and what I know about colonial America, I think it would be like, yeah, there were a bunch of counties and they were all ruled
yeah.
somewhat similarly, but also somewhat differently.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing America, I don't think has ever had is like the quite as Byzantine structure that goes into, you know, the electors, and
yeah.
then you have the special electors, and you have a Lansrod completely, or whatever, that's the one in Dune, whatever it's called.
No, that's yeah.
You have one of those completely separate, you know, and it's like, but then again, I also think back to the fact that states used to have their own electors and there was no popular vote back
yeah.
then.
Yeah.
So maybe, yeah, like know, maybe it is a bit more similar than I was thinking at first.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's like this, there's kind of a knee jerk reaction to want to kind of like draw your line, a line under kind of like modern institutions and medieval institutions. But like also, you know, the Holy Roman Empire is also like pretty early modern,
mm-hmm.
Especially like the Habsburg version.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, yeah. And so it's like, if you're setting up an empire, which is what England is doing mm-hmm. here, right? Mm-hmm. Then you're going to look to other empires and be like, well, how do they do it? And just kind mm-hmm. of go with it. Now, like, I'm sure that they're, you know, Americans thought they were being very modern indeed and like forward looking and all this stuff. But, you know, it's still just a bunch of like rich white guys pouncing around, isn't it?
They just wanted to go back to Rome. That's all they were.
That is. That's it. Yeah. That's the classical civic architecture, right? So,
yeah. To be honest, when I did, like, when I was thinking about it, I was thinking of, like, the modern U.S. Congress and electoral system, which, while it is insanely awful, is not quite as Byzantine as the HRE, but the old one, back when every state had their own special, you know, Virginia had a House of Burgesses, and
yeah.
Pennsylvania had, you know, and it's just like, you have all these different things, and yeah, I mean, they're probably pretty similar, except, you know, nobody in the U.S. voted on the king in England. I mean,
yeah, exactly. So it's like, eh, you know, I think that it's a good comparison if we're specifically going Habsburgs. I guess that's what my thing is. Also ruled by a nominally German guy, right?
Yeah,
hey, that was a crack. That was a crack about the Georgians being German. Hey. Good. That
yeah,
was
I don't
good.
Know. No, I don't know anything about the HRE outside of the Habsburgs and I guess Charlemagne. Depending on if you think Charlemagne was involved in that or not.
Yeah.
So, Heather, thank you so much.
Great question, Heather.
That was a really good
question. Love that one.
Yeah, because and see, you can just ask questions about the dumb memes that people send around and be like, ah, oh, now you've you know.
I love that. I'm like this show wants meme based questions.
Yes, it does. Yes. That's true. Yeah, so if you would like to ask us more meme-based questions, then please join our Patreon, patreon.com/WNSDpod. We got episodes, got Discord, ask us questions, we'll answer them here. And yeah, we will we'll be having another new episode soon. You know, probably something along the line of The Northman, because Eleanor's seen it and it's coming streaming
it Friday, whips. So it whips.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll probably do that. I can't imagine that I would dislike a movie about Vikings slaughtering people.
Bitch, they be Viking all over the place. Man. Bjork's there? What a time to be alive.
Oh, Bjork is there?
Bjork is there. Bjork is there. It's fucking great. I had, you know, like, we'll get into it later, but like, guys, see The Northman. Like, come on now. I got very slightly wine drunk and saw The Northman, and it was a tip-top decision. Would recommend. So,
Gotcha.
So watch it. Watch it, because we're going to watch it, guys. Yep. Do it. So.
Yeah. So, anyway, on to our main episode. Somehow, despite being a medieval history show, we can't avoid getting entangled in current events. Though it's not our fault this time, we swear. Instead, it appears as though people are mixing up some facts with a lot of fiction and coming away with a completely incorrect and incoherent idea about the lives of medieval peasants. What's more, these ideas appear to be spreading online, creating a certain nostalgia for the simpler times of the medieval peasant, and we simply can't allow that now, can we? Though this is a topic we've talked about on the show before, it seemed like a good time to devote a whole episode to parsing it out, since the ideas seem to be gaining a bit more traction. And you can read a bit more about the spread of this idea. It was recently documented in a story written by Amanda Mole for The Atlantic, which quotes my illustrious co-host quite often, you know, if you're interested in reading a bit more. The thinking of this idea goes that peasants had better lives than we do today because they worked fewer days and had more holidays than the average modern American does. This obviously gave them more leisure time to do what they wanted, more time to spend with their friends and family, something we are, I can barely read this, something we are increasingly robbed more and more of each year, though that part is true.
That's true.
Further, peasants worked with their hands, a marked improvement from the drudgery of working on computers all day, also true, and they worked their own crops, meaning they ate better than we did with all our gross chemicals.
True.
Debatable. I mean, debatable in
true,
terms
like,
of
true
nutrition.
True and false. Yeah, exactly. We'll get into it.
The argument just spirals out from there until you're left with a particularly rosy but utterly fictitious picture of the lives of medieval peasants. And while this podcast has gone to great lengths to make the point that peasants led rich, full lives, that doesn't mean they were comparatively easy or something we should seek to return to wholesale. Far from it, in fact. Certainly there are a number of aspects of peasant life that we have lost over time that we should seek to bring back, which we will discuss momentarily. But lying to ourselves about the past has never helped anyone prepare for the future. So let's talk about what this new line of thinking gets right and wrong about peasant life and what we can actually learn from peasants to make a better world for ourselves today. Eleanor, can you expand a bit on this kind of rose-colored view of peasants and this idea that seems to be gaining some amount of steam?
Yeah. It's a really interesting one to me because it really gets me because my frustrating thing is that, like, I spend all this time kind of being like, the Middle Ages wasn't as bad as you think. Like, calm down. Like, it wasn't actually just like an unrelenting hellscape. There's a lot of beautiful and wonderful and interesting things. But I would still rather live now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just because it's not that bad doesn't mean that it's all the way good either.
Yeah.
And I suppose that, you know, it's reactionary. This idea that peasants had it better than we do. And it is specifically like predicated on this idea, I think, of what if I had all of the amenities of the modern world, right? But I was a peasant. So, you know, the idea that's like, oh, more days off. So a day off means like literally 24 hours off of labor. I can, you know, do anything that I want. There is this idea of like, oh, a healthier diet. And sure, like eating more locally grown food is good. Eating seasonal food is good. I've got you. But there are things that people don't consider within that where it's like, you know, we eat a lot of meat.
Yeah.
For example, like the modern diet contains absolutely huge amounts of meat that medieval people, I mean, you would have to be rich. You would have to be a king in order to eat that amount of meat. And we, you know, we've got no fucking clue. No idea. So it's like, I hope you like vegetables.
We're going back to that old way, regardless of whether we want to or not. But
yeah, I mean, I want to be clear that we probably should. Yeah. But, you know, like I'm just saying. Yeah. So it's like, you would be eating better. It's kind of like a red herring. And I do think that it's kind of like built out of this longing for like the fracturing of community and family that we are experiencing now, right? Because one of the things that kind of we experience, especially in the modern world, is, you know, that we've got this sort of capitalist family unit where it's like the nuclear family as an economic unit is the way that, you know, our societies are run. And we're really autonomous in that way, right? So we're like cut off from our own extended families in a lot of ways. And a lot of the times we're like cut off from like a broader sense of community more generally, especially in a time like now, like when people have to move around a lot, like if you're renting all the time and you can't own a home, like, you know, there's this kind of like, oh, well, how nice to live on a farm and the family farm. And like, and I think it's born out of the real worry that people have with our own precarity and our own isolation and, you know, like late stage capitalism. You know, here we are in the time of monsters and all that we're like being offered is like an upgrade on iPhones, right? Like that's what they've got for us is the internet, right? It's like, you know, they're threatening us with the metaverse and it looks awful, right? And like, and then that's all that our society is willing to offer us. So they're like, oh, well, maybe there's like this better thing in the past, and they seize on these things. You know, in order to do that. So they kind of just pick out these ideas, which might be nice in practice in like a modern aspect. So like, say we had the same amount of holidays as peasants, then yeah, like life would be great. Like that'd be wonderful. And we should, you know, like see our series on historical materialism for more information. And we certainly should. But that's also not what these things mean. So it's like, it's this really romanticized view of like what it would mean to be a peasant that is inextricably bound with, you know, our own ideas about what the world is. So it's like, you're like, oh, to have a roaring fire and have things lit by candlelight. And I'm like, yeah, bitch, that gets really less cute when, you know, it's like the middle of winter, 20 below. And like, it's fun for you to have a roaring fire and candles because you can turn on a light if you want. And also you have central heat. Like until you have to go to the outhouse in the middle of the night to piss, you know, like you want a toilet, I assure you. You really want a toilet. You want antibiotics. You desperately want antibiotics, you know, like I'm just saying.
I think, you know, and I mean, I think that's something we should point out, because I don't while it is, I think, an inherently reactionary position, like Eleanor was saying, it's not bad to want to return to some of these good things, like to have, as Eleanor said, have more community, have like a, you know, have more of a family, have people you can rely on who are around you and you're not, you know, moving all the time, or you're not whatever. And the idea, especially if you're in America and you know how bad, like, the how much shit we just put in our food that that even other countries are like, hell no, we wouldn't feed that shit to dogs.
Yeah,
like it does make sense to be like, man, it would be so nice just to have my little garden to tend. I could grow some onions and a pepper, you know, and you imagine that. And that I'm not a farmer. I've barely ever gardened anything in my life, but yeah, that sounds a lot better to me than like eating all the processed and saturated shit. But the problem is that, you know, like Eleanor was saying, you're putting your modern lifestyle and your modern conveniences back, but you're saying, look, what if I just lived on a farm? Which, I mean, it's completely understandable. You know,
yeah, like, okay. So I think that also, I guess you're exactly right, Luke. But a thing I just kind of thought of is like, remember in the pandemic, I was one of these people in the pandemic, although I was doing it before the pandemic as well, although I haven't done it in ages because it kind of got ruined for me. But remember that stage of the pandemic when everyone was making sourdough? Like there, and
hey,
it was like,
hey, some of us are a little late. I just started recently. Okay, there's no reason.
It's good to make sourdough, right? And I love making sourdough, and you get a lot. You get a lot out of it, right? There's really something about kind of the rhythms of it, and trying to and like knowing that you've got to get these timings, and then when you've got this loaf of bread that you made, you get a lot of sensation out of that. So, and you know, people are like, yeah, I'd like to be making my own bread like peasants do. Yeah, you do. You don't want to have to grow the wheat.
No.
Harvest
no,
the wheat. Take the wheat by a horse and carriage to a mill. Pay to mill the wheat. Bring the flour back and bake the bread. Like, you know, it's like all the steps of the process. So it's like what you like is the kind of like end part of the process. Like, you're focusing on the bit that's enjoyable. And even then, it will become a lot less enjoyable if literally your only possibility for bread and food is to keep doing this. It just, it simply becomes, you know, a part of life and like ignorable, right?
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. And we should also say, especially myself, because I traffic in memes that are filled with lies all the time in order to make them funnier, that we're not, you know, like, if you're out here sharing memes, I especially do not give a shit.
It's all good.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, the problem is what we're going to talk about next. The problem for this is because, like a lot of things nowadays, the idea here, you know, of this, return lifestyle is being used as, white nationalist propaganda, you know, with the idea toward creating white ethno states. Eleanor, can you, talk to us a little bit about
that? Yeah, like,
that
this is the thing, man. Like, this shit is all bound up with, like, the trad aesthetic. It's fucking gross. Like, every time you see something about it, it's like, well, actually, medieval peasants had a better time than you. And, like, the next thing will also be after that, and also conservative gender roles, and it's good to have seven children, and, you know, and stuff like that. And you're like, okay, cool. Yeah. And, you know, and it is exclusively a kind of, like, white thing, right?
Yeah.
It's a product of, like, this version of whiteness. And this idea that these peasants, you know, and again, it's like tacked to modernity. So what they're actually kind of talking about, I think, is like farming in America. And I think that they're actually kind of talking about like farming in America, like before like industrialization. So that's what they're actually thinking about. And even then, that's fucking stupid because it's so hard. Oh my God, what are you talking about? Like, there's a reason why, like, everyone, like, gets out of it as soon as it, like one of the highest levels of suicide that exists is among farmers, right? Like, because they have a hell of a time because it's just, like, an absolutely fucking, like, difficult job, right?
And even if you're great at it, your entire thing can be spoiled by the weather being slightly, like, not even, 15 degrees off. Like, if it's like 5 degrees colder, that can ruin, you know, for
everything.
A little while, that can ruin crops. Like it's,
a dry spring, rainy summer, you're fucked in that case. And like, it's, and I, people are kind of thinking about this idealized world, right? But so the ethno state thing is like, oh well, there's also this kind of like, I think it's really tacked specifically to you know, the racialized way our society plays out. So, for example, we tend to see, especially in America or in the UK, we tend to think of urbanity as linked to multiculturalism.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like cities are the place where, you know, ethnic, like non-white people live. Right. That's where they live. You know, and you'll see this all the time, like people using the word urban in order to like denote, for example, black people.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. And so when you see these kind of like nostalgia call outs for the peasantry, what they're actually saying with this is, oh, yeah, like I want to go in the country where I only see a bunch of white people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like you'll see there's a lot of trad posting about this and they'll be like, it's really fucking creepy and perverted, where they'll like show a bunch of pictures of like various white girls in like quote unquote traditional dress. And they'll be like, yeah, you traded this in for Pornhub. And it's like, bro, like those are all models. B, like I get really annoyed with those ones because it'll be like quote unquote traditional dress. And I'm like, that's all from like the 18th century, 19th century.
Yeah.
Like that's not how people dress in. No, like, no, absolutely not. So it fucking drives me nuts, that one.
They were not showing you ankle.
No.
In the 1100s. Get the fuck out.
Like, you know, actually, a lot of the clothes would probably be sluttier than you thought. Like, you know, so just, like, calm down about that. But, you know, that's also kind of linked with this kind
of, second thought, maybe we should...
Right? And, like, and that's also kind of, like, linked with this white ethno-nationalist thing about wanting kind of, like, subservient women in quote-unquote traditional gender roles, and this idea of wanting women to be, like... sexually not promiscuous, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have some terrible news for you about medieval women.
about women throughout all of history. Oh, yeah, man.
Like, homie, my love. So, right, like, it's linked with this kind of, like, nostalgia idea, and it's a real problem that we have on the left, yes. Right, is that what the right, like, what the fash offer is they offer these kind of, like, these stories based very loosely on things that sort of existed. But it's like, it's enough that they're able to like really paint a narrative, right? Like they're able to paint this narrative that you can really understand. And they're able to say, oh, life was better if you go backwards. Like, look at this picture of a hot chick, right? look at this picture of a hot chick drinking milk, right?
Yeah.
And like every time, dude.
Yeah. No, yeah, yeah. You're like, right. I was laughing because like I just at this very moment got like, oh, it's drinking milk. I get it now. I'm an idiot. Okay, I'm an idiot.
You got it. I get it.
And everybody's like, yeah, man, good job on that. 5 hours later.
This is the thing, right? Whereas on the left, we're asking people to imagine something that never happened. Right? Yeah. Like, we're asking people to imagine what could be. Mm-hmm. And so it's like they're further ahead of us, and that's something that we need to. Sorry, this is like Eleanor's leftist corner once again. But I'm just like, that's something that we really need to address. But anyway, just thinking about that. So yeah, like you really need to be careful about this kind of like memery, because I've seen like well-meaning people be like, yeah, and then I've definitely seen some people on the left kind of like, you know, longing for the commune and stuff like that. And like I feel it, I get it. But we have to just be super careful about this stuff and how white nationalists use it. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you get the, you know, what job will you have in the, you know, in the commune? And it's like, I don't know, man. Whatever it looks like, I'm not sure, but I'll be happy. I don't know, but it's probably not going to be, you know, medieval pastoralism or anything like that.
I suppose another thing to say here too, actually, just really quickly before we move on, is like these also this kind of like longing for the countryside and this longing for a medieval like a peasantry. One of the racist things about it too is it kind of like ignores the fact that like the great majority of farmers worldwide are not white, right? Like, I beg you to like think about the most populous nations on earth, India and China. They do be farming.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, there's plenty of farming going on all over the world because that's how we eat. And it's not just being done by like white guys with tractors in America. It's like happening in Africa. It's happening in South South America. You know, and a lot of the food that we eat is coming from like China and India, actually. So like, let us consider the fact that actually the great majority of people who are peasants are not white. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it also does like, first of all, like, you didn't give this up. There was nobody today who like decided to do this. And especially not because we've talked about it on the show. We talked about it in the historical materialism series and elsewhere that the reason you can't go be a yeoman farmer and do self-sufficiency is because they fucking closed off the commons.
Yeah.
It's most obviously most famous in England, but, you know, they closed off the commons everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's why you cannot go be a yeoman farmer. You know, it's like,
yeah. And like, actually I would love it if we got rid of enclosure.
Yeah.
Like that I think that would whip, actually. Yeah. Like that'd be really good. It'd be really nice for me because it's like, so one of my favorite parts of England is Anglia. So I like Suffolk and Norfolk. But they're like newer bits, like the land got reclaimed from the sea. And so as a result, there weren't like as many commons and there aren't as many thoroughfares and stuff like that. So in like, the great majority of England, if you are in the countryside and you go hiking, there's like gonna be a right of way or a road you could walk on across like even a farmer's field because it's existed since like, you know, like the 1090s or whatever. But in East Anglia, that doesn't exist because the land didn't exist until like after enclosure. And it'll be like, it's really fucked. Like there's this one place I like to go camping and it's only like a mile from the beach, but you can't walk to the beach because all of the land in between the campground and the beach is private.
Oh, Jesus.
And it sucks, man. Like, and so it's just kind of a perfect encapsulation of the differences that you get with enclosure, just like even you know the legacies of that, right? So it's like when there were commons, there were common right-of-ways. And when there's enclosure, you can't even walk across a fucking field, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is why you cannot do, you know, that's why there's no American yeomanry today, at least not like this or almost anywhere. I don't know if it exists anywhere on Earth, really, but I can't be sure. You know, and the other thing is that these people were almost all not free in a very specific way. Serfdom, which is what a lot of peasants lived under for a very long time, is a form of slavery. And no matter how bad things are today, for most people, they do not have it that bad. And
you did not have to ask your boss if you could marry the person you wanted.
Yeah.
Or if, you know, you aren't married, then, you know, same thing. And also, if you're a relationship anarchist and you're not going to get married, good job, comrade. Well done.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, like, it's, you know, there are these things that you don't consider, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You know, moving on, we'll just talk about a little bit more about this argument and go on from there. So let's first start with, I guess, the things that the argument gets right about peasant life. And one, the definitive thing is that they definitely had more holidays than we do.
Way more. Oh, so many more holidays. Jesus fuck. Right.
Yeah.
Like, just look, because, and these are basically based on the church calendar. And, you know, the saints have feast days like most days.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, not all the saints feast days are the same across Europe. Like, you know, obviously the Czechs will be having different saints days than Spanish people, for example. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the big ones you're going to still have, like, you're still going to have all of your apostles. You're still going to have, like, you know, the decollation of John the Baptist, the Immaculate Conception, all those big ones. So that's like baked in, right? They definitely have way, way more days off, quote unquote. And like it's, you know, and like Sundays and stuff really are a day that's important and like off. And there's no way to argue that that isn't true.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but.
But
yeah. Another thing is that they maybe worked fewer days at their jobs, depending on the scholarship that you believe. There's a widely quoted study by a historian named Juliet Shore, and it was based on work by an earlier historian whose name I cannot remember right off the top of my head, who later repudiated his own work slightly, saying he thought they worked more hours. But there are a lot of historians who still rely on Schur's numbers and others who think that they worked more. But either way, it doesn't technically matter whether they worked fewer days on the job or not, because Eleanor, they still had to do a lot of work at home. Said, like,
that's the thing, is it's just like, what the
you
fuck?
You didn't just
like,
go home and and cook your dinner and then sit in your chair.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, because the thing is, even if you've got the day off, you've still got to milk the cows. Mm-hmm. You still have to feed the chickens. You still got to, like, get the eggs in from the chickens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're still going to have to, like, you know how where you still have to do chores on the weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, you know, still chores. And it's like, what the day off refers to is less like, oh, you don't have to do any work at all, and more like you're not going to have to do kind of like work tithes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're not going to have to work for your Lord. But, you know, if it's a particularly hot summer and it's a saint's day, you're still going to have to, like, water where things are happening. And it's like, and when it's the harvest, all bets are fucking off, right? You're just out there in the field.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what's going on. So, you know, the idea that they, like, oh, well, they work fewer days because their day's off is, again, linked to this really modern conception of what a day off is. Mm-hmm. Where you go, oh, well, maybe I'll do a load of laundry and I'll, like, play with the fence if, I don't know why I'm, like, talking about a broken fence, but that's what I'm doing. Like, do a spot of gardening and then we'll make dinner. And it's like, well, in the first place, making dinner is so much more of a laborious process. Like, you know, like it's tough. And you've got all these things that don't go away. Like, you're still going to have to go get the firewood in. If there's enough firewood, then you're going to have to chop the wood. You know, there is just the stuff that we don't think about because we turn on lights, you know, and we heat our homes or cool them, and we have ovens, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it's the additional work on top of that that they're not having to do on days off. So there's still always work that has to be done.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, you know. You're transposing a lifestyle in ways that could not have existed at the time, you know, because you don't have modern conveniences or even early you don't have almost any conveniences at all, because, you know, life was just so different I mean, I think it is important to, like, think about the fact that, you know, we may have, you know, it may be true that today that we work more days than people in the medieval time, because it goes to show while we are no longer technically serfs, you know, in that regard, we've been so you know, everything's been pushed so hard against us that now we have to do all of this backbreaking work all of this labor now, and we don't have, like, anywhere close to the days off that we used to, and that is literally making our lives worse. But it doesn't mean their lives are better. However, they did, as we've noted a couple times, they did also have far more communal outlets and deeper bonds around them than we do now. And, you know, that's not like to say that people can't develop extremely deep bonds with their neighbors and neighborhoods and things like that. It's to say that, like, suburbs and commutes and jobs, the things we have now, like the way all this stuff is set up now, is it takes away from community. It detracts from any collective ideas. And back then, you you know, you knew your neighbors, and there is a certain looking at that does make you, because, like, man, I do wish I knew, my neighbors. You know, it does take a community to raise a child, and it would be a lot easier if you had a community to fucking help raise a child.
Yes.
And they definitely had that.
Yeah.
In spades.
Yeah. Oh, like the communal outlets. Like, I mean, go look at a Bruegel painting of, like, you know, a holiday, and you're like, yeah, okay, that whips. Like, it does look good. And see, that is the thing. Like, with all the holidays, you will have a party in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And that's, like, nice. And they definitely are much more linked to everyone around them. And that's an undeniably good thing. Although, like, what if you hate the people?
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. Like, you're like, oh, man, great. I get to live next
forever
to this guy.
I fucking hate forever. Yeah, like. Yeah. There's like, no, and you can't move, right? It's not like, yeah. So, it's extremely good. And like, I do think that, you know, this is one thing that I will give peasant life is, you know, village life, the communal life, you know, the sense of community and the way that people look after each other. But, you know, it also does mean that sometimes they murder each other and shit like that. So, like, let's just be honest about that. That's what I have to say.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, they did work with their hands, and we're not nearly as alienated from their labor as we are today.
Oh, yeah. God.
They, if they made something or did something, they got to see the final product of that, even though, you know, they would usually go to their lord. But, you know, that they definitely weren't as alienated from labor as we do working on our computers nowadays.
Yeah, like, it's a thing. So my dad and my brother are both carpenters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they talk about their work a lot, and, you know, they'll show you their work a lot and stuff. And it's really, really cool. And it's one of these things where I'm just like, yeah, man. Like, every time they're clearly so into it and so proud of it. And, like, they do these incredible things that I could never fucking do, right?
Yeah.
And when I talk to them, I'm just like, Jesus. Yeah, like, this is a real job. Like, they have a real job doing real things, right? And it's like, when you compare that also to, like, peasantry more generally, and it's like, you know, making your own food, like growing these own things, and the real pride you must feel in that, you know, I think is really real and also good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I guess it's also true that they didn't eat, their food didn't have a lot of chemicals in it, like, like we do today, because they didn't have pesticides and,
hormones and
sugar. A lot of sugar.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, because sugar exists, right? You got sugar beets and stuff like that, and you've got honey, but it's like, not everything is, like, loaded with corn syrup, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's, the food probably was better for you in those ways. It's just that, you know, getting hold of enough food was more difficult.
Yeah, definitely. But now, enough of that, because I'm sure Eleanor wants to tell us at length what this argument gets wrong about this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, so a lot, right? Like, you know, we've already kind of, like, done, you know, so, but it's, in the first place, the idea that, like, peasants, medieval peasants, are all one thing is stupid, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're like all like one group of people who have this job over, you know, 1100 years or so are all the same, like, across a continent that is quite varied.
Yeah.
It's silly, right? So, you know, what's true for a peasant in southern Spain in, you know, 500 is hugely different for that what's true for a peasant in the lowlands in 1250. You know, very, very different. You know, you have varying technologies, you have varying trade routes that move things, you might even have varying crops, and you definitely have varying weathers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's real challenges in kind of southern Europe that come along with farming. So, you know, and that's usually kind of like water. Water's the big issue in southern Europe. In northern Europe, the issue is a shorter growing season and heavier soils.
Yeah.
Although, like, they're quite rich when you get them. So it's like, for example, Iceland, weirdly, had really, really good rich soil because people had never lived there before the medieval period. And there was so much volcanic ash buildup that the soil was incredible, which is, like, one of the reasons people were like, yeah, boy, we're sticking here, you know. So, you know, and but having said that, then you've got to put up with an Icelandic winter. And, like, the reason their horses are small is that you really had to have them in the house, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, you've got to bring that guy inside. So, you know, there's these varying challenges and varying cultures. And, you know, like, well, what communal life means in all these places can mean really, really different things. And the crops that they're growing are different. And the systems of government that they live under could be different as well.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you're unfree, that matters. Because, you know, there can be a real difference in terms of, like, how much work tax you've got to pay, how much taxation generally you've got to pay, and what your duties are, and the things that you have to do for your lords. That's all going to vary from place to place. So just going, oh, a medieval peasant, it's like, yeah, you know, like, I can see why. And, you know, granted, it's one of the estates for sure, but, you know, and the same could be true about saying, you know, a medieval knight. It's like, well, what does that mean, right? Like, you know, it can mean all sorts of things. And the fact of the matter is they're having varying days off, they have various expectations, and some have easier lives than others, you know.
That makes sense. And I mean, of course, as we talked about a couple times, it ignores all of the work, that goes into obtaining and making food, and, you know, shelter and upkeep and family. et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's, yeah.
Yeah,
there's
like, what if you have to do your own roof? You know, like what, you're a farmer and you're working all day in the field and you've got all these other things going on and there's a leak in the roof and that means your ass is getting up on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's it. You know, we're like, oh, it's great because they're not alienated from their labor. Yeah, but their labor is also required to make their own fucking houses.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you have to do every single aspect of the work in your life. And, you know, like I was just saying, oh, wow, my father and brother are great carpenters and this is, you know, amazing. And they can do they can do all these cool things. Well, yeah, but like not everyone's a carpenter. So like some people are going to have better houses and there's going to be variance there in terms of like what can be made and who can do what. And there's also like varying ways like within that too about like there's various levels of peasantry. So there's like rich peasants who have servants who help them, like, you know, they'll have a dairy maid. And they'll have like field hands and stuff like that. And they're still a peasant, but so are the dairy maids and the field hands, right? Like that's what's up. So, you know, that's part of it not being monolithic. And it's also kind of like part of like, oh yeah, like, let's just keep in mind how hard this is. It's like, if people do have a bit of money, they immediately try to get help in.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's hard. It's fucking hard. And like one of the big things that people get help in is like in the kitchens, laundry. One of the first things that people try to fucking get rid of doing is laundry.
We are literally not so different.
No.
I fucking hate laundry. Hate.
I don't like doing the dishes. That's my one. Like
dishes didn't bother me that much. I don't know why. Laundry just.
Ugh. I like to vacuum. Hashtag chore chat.
I don't vacuuming's fine. I don't know. I'm usually listening to stuff while I do this, so I can't if I don't have something to listen to, I hate every second of it because I'm stuck in
my head. That's the thing is like you
don't
I don't
want to be in here.
Peasants don't have shit to listen to. They have to sing.
Yeah.
Like with nobody's no one's out there fucking like strumming the lute, bro. Like that's not what's up. Like
no
you
one's
know.
Out there strumming the lute. And asking if you want to, if anybody's ready for Wonderwall. You know.
Yeah, right. Like, well, I mean, maybe it's good. Maybe that's a good thing. But yeah, like you know, there's when you're doing your household chores, it's like it's you know there is a lot more singing though. I will give you that. Like they do a lot more of their own singing, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, and I mean this just goes into you know they didn't their days off were vastly different than ours because you know even though we do have to do the chores on like the weekend or whatever. The chore is vastly different, you know, like it's like, I gotta, you know, power wash the driveway or something like that, which is time consuming and, you know, hard work, especially when it's really hot outside, but it's, you know, vastly different from like, okay, I got to thatch the roof. I got to, you know, bring in this water. I've got, you know, I've got to make this dinner. I've got to,
I mean, I know we already talked about this in the hygiene episode, but fucking like the carrying water thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bruh. No.
But yeah, no. The lack of the lack of plumbing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Never return. Never return. Mm-mm. Anyway, yeah. And just generally like, you know, as we've been talking about this idea just kind of forgets all of the hard aspects of medieval life compared to us now. They died earlier and that's from a lot of factors, but still infant and maternal mortality were much higher. They were worked to the bone, like literally their remains. You could see the stress of working all the time and, you know, bending and knee joints and backs and everything like that. Of course they lacked the modern medical treatment. And as I said earlier, you know, you're fucking serf or an unfree peasant. You have to ask to go like to the city, you know, like it's
Like,
I understand that a lot of people have it really hard nowadays, and I am not in any way minimizing that because I understand that, but it's but like you don't have to ask like if you can marry some, you know.
Yeah, and it's like you know, and I think that's actually a really good point, Luke, is that you know the whole having to ask if you want to go to the city, like you know, a lot of people are like, oh well, with days off, I could travel. No, you can't, bitch. Like in the first place, you don't have the permission to do so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in the second place, like you can't get away from all the chores, right?
Mm-hmm.
And granted, people do go on pilgrimage, like that's a thing that people will save up for, and like your Lord will almost always grant you pilgrimage, right? Because they're not trying to go to hell. So that's definitely true. But like a pilgrimage, a lot of the times is kind of like a once in a lifetime thing, you know?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I lost my train of thought because my dog somehow got out of her cone of shame.
God bless her. Hey, baby girl.
She's over there. Hey, Hilly.
Aww.
Little terrier. The most anxious dog ever. Yeah. What I was going to say is that I should note that they are trying that some people can't get married to who they want to still these days.
That's true.
So you can't even ask, you know, so I should make a note of that, because that is obviously awful and unfair. And but, you know, for the most part, you don't have to get permission from the guy who owns your property to mm-hmm. marry someone, for the most part. Yeah, and then, you know, lastly, it's just, there were lots of rebellions, lots of peasants' rebellions. We did 3 fucking episodes on them. They weren't just happy with their lot in life. You know, this is one of the big, one of the big reasons we started doing the show, is like, they weren't just happy with their lot in life and like, mm-hmm. The liege lord said I had to do this, so I guess I got to go die in a field. So, you know, like, I mean, yeah. Some of them did that for sure, but that wasn't like,
they weren't like, and I uniform. Love it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
You know, like this idea that, and everyone just loved it. They simply loved to be a peasant and, you know, got on with their community. It's like they were pissed a lot of the time. You know, they were just really angry for perfectly good reasons.
Yeah.
And they, you know, start wars over it. You know, like a lot of noblemen get killed as a result of this. I mean, more peasants get killed. But, you know, it's one of these things where life often was unbearable for them. Mm-hmm. To the point where they were willing to risk their lives, you know, in order to change it. So, you know, we need to really be mindful of that and not minimize the stuff that they went through and how difficult it really was to be a peasant a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And we should also, I guess we should say that, man, they did not have a lot of privacy back then.
Oh, God, no.
I see stuff about like how they had better sex, and I'm like, man, maybe, I guess, but
I mean, like, if you like, and I suppose that one of the things of it is that like there's different cultural morals around right? Yeah. So, but I still wouldn't want to, and also like we definitely know that they kind of want privacy as well, because like that's why they're always fucking in churches and stuff like that.
Or in fields.
Yeah. Yeah, right? It's like when you're in a bedroom with like 4 other people, or is it just like a one room house and like your kids are
your
over
kids,
there.
Your kids, yeah.
Like, you know, I'd really rather not, you know.
Yeah, that really decreases the sex drive for most people. It's like, well, the kids in the corner sleeping.
Yep. Gotta reminding you of what'll happen if you have sex in the quote unquote correct way. Like,
So let's not do that. Yeah. You know, so we spent a lot of time this episode talking about how hard the lives of peasants are. And comparatively, for the most part, yes. Very, 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 very hard. But, you know, they also did have meaningful lives and stuff. So,
that's right.
You know, let's end on, you know, just some things that, you know, some aspects of peasant life that we should bring back, you know, like we talked about the community and, you know, and neighbors and not food, not corn syrup, for the love of God.
Yeah, please.
You know, what else are we missing here from the actual, you know, good parts of the peasant life?
Well, I mean, I suppose that like a great way to kind of like honor what peasants would have wanted is kind of circling back to the thing that everyone kind of focuses on, is that they had more days off than we do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's actually perfectly fucking possible for us to have that many days off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't have tons of time off. You know, our productivity is through the fucking roof. We're destroying the world with how much stuff we use and make in the name of that productivity. We could just, like, chill. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be completely fine to not work 40-hour week. Mm-hmm. There's nothing forcing us to do this. And, you know, peasants would probably be super confused by how much we do work, you know, in terms of these things. And this kind of regimented idea that there is a specific amount of hours that one works and that is completely untethered from what it is you're doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, because of what our productivity is, because of, you know, all the technologies that we have at our disposal in order to have an easier life, we should be using those to make an easier life by not working as much. I would say that that mm-hmm. would be first on my list. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's weird. You know, we got all this stuff to make working easier. Productivity is high, but we still work a lot. And that is definitely a contradiction in that flies in our faces every day. That's pretty much it. We just kind of wanted to talk about this idea as like, you know, kind of break it down into what it is and what it actually means. And look at it that way, because it's something that does kind of keep coming up, and it will probably continue to keep coming up, because people are justifiably, incorrectly, seeking a alternative to their lives getting worse in the present day, which they, for almost all people, they are in some small and some very big ways. And so it's completely understandable to do that. You know, it's just one of those things where, like, you know, I don't know. A lot of people who are using it are doing it because they're trying to, return to the white ladies with blonde hair drinking milk in a field kind of thing. And it's not great. No, white nationalist propaganda, bad.
Bad. We don't like that bit.
No.
We're against it.
So you know, we had to come here and we have to make all these caveats, because usually the show is like, peasants were awesome, and they were awesome.
They're my faves.
Life, the more technology comes along, life gets, you know, better. And to be honest, I'm sure there were people in the medieval times like, man, we got to go back to Rome before they invented this
plow. They loved it, man. They had nostalgia too. It's not just us, you know?
Yeah. So that's what we got today. We'll link the article that Eleanor was quoted in. It's from, I think, it's from The Atlantic. And we'll link that when we post this on Twitter. Other than that, thank you so much for listening. Eleanor, before we come back next time to probably talk about the Northmen, can you tell us where the good people can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me on Twitter at Going Medieval. You can check out my blog, going-medieval.com. My Medieval Pleasures series on History Hit TV is all out now, all three episodes. So you can, like, real quick, if you haven't got History Hit before, you can watch them all real quickly in a month and then unsubscribe. No one will tell. Also, you can check out my comic book, The Middle Ages, A Graphic History.
Nice. Yep. And I'm Luke. You can find me at Luke is Amazing on Twitter. And you can find my Star Wars podcast, A People's History of the Old Republic, wherever you listen to podcasts like this. But again, thank you so very much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye.